Roth Radio. David Lee Roth live in the house. I have a very special guest here this morning. His name is John Waterhouse. He's from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and he's in town for the Toy Fair here. Welcome, John. How are you?
Thanks, Dave. Doing great this morning.
Excellent. Now, how long is the Toy Fair? Tell me about, was this a convention of toy makers? They're playing with the toys in the background there. The interns have lost their attention for the next week here. What happens at a toy convention? Share that with us.
It's basically a cavalcade of toys of all types, man. You've got everything related to toys, action figures, dolls, books, candy, anything that falls in the realm anywhere close to toys is there for manufacturers, distributors, retailers. All these folks come here and they check it all out. Stuff that's coming out throughout the next year.
Okay, I'm hesitant to even use the word toy for a lot of what gets sold in these conventions here. The action figures and these sorts of the robots and the things that I'm seeing are science projects. They're art projects. They're objets d'art, objects of art, beyond a toy. A toy to me is something that I would play with before I was a teenager. Half of what I'm seeing at these conventions is meant for individuals like ourselves. Agree or disagree?
Very much agree. I mean, you've got basically a lot of these fanboys and toy collectors that grow up, they've got cash now, and they're able to go out there and buy these high-end, amazing toys, basically statue pieces, display pieces. You've got pieces, Star Wars action figures that are 24 inches tall that are going for $300. Man, they look amazing.
And what do people do with these? Now, I know that I have a collection of gold brass Zippo lighters, probably 15 of them. And everybody who knows the gold brass Zippo lighter, or more importantly, anybody who's ever been to a souvenir store over on Times Square knows that there's an infinite way to customize these. I got the checkerboard model. I've got the engraved model. I've got the original from 1932, my favorite, the Betty Page medallion model, etc. Okay. And I don't ever use them. I put them up on a shelf, okay, and they're just like anything else, a painting. They're anything else, but I get lost in it. Just by looking at it, it's like a Japanese meditating in a garden. There's only three stones there. What's he looking at? And I think of those time periods or who may have carried it. What do people do with action figures like this? How does a collector interact with that kind of those kinds of objects, those kinds of toys?
I think it's based upon the individual. I mean, basically what they want to do with the toy, it's a very personal thing. Some people display them, you know, in showcases, lights. Some people got to take them out of the package. Other people won't. It just really depends on the person.
If somebody doesn't take it out of the package, are they looking for the resale? Is that like buying a car and maintaining it and until it becomes a classic or something like that?
To some degree, I think some folks just dig the art on the package, too. It's beautiful. You got a lot of top artists that are doing these, designing these packages, beautiful artwork that are on these things.
Okay, I wanted to illustrate that, no pun intended, is that most of the toys that we're talking about, excuse me, my friend. Yeah, I think that most of our... hold on one second. Put up the track here, babe. Go ahead. Hey, we're back. I got my notes here. I think that what most people are doing with toys today come from what happens graphic, illustration-wise. And I'm seeing names of artists like Kane, like McFarlane, and everybody who's in the adult graphic novel industry, you know, Miller, etc. This is where it starts for these kinds of action figures. Agree or disagree?
I very much agree. You got a lot of hot top guys out there. McFarlane has built an empire strictly from coming from the comic world. I mean, he's an amazing guy, done a lot of amazing stuff. So definitely.
What has McFarlane drawn that they would know in here? What is some of his comics? Are you aware?
Spider-Man. He basically... Hit the pocket with Spider-Man.
Okay. And this is, again, adult nature routines. Now, I'm also seeing a trend where people are customizing the action figures, all right? I've subscribed to some of the toy magazines specifically for this. I come from the G.I. Joe generation, all right? Right. With the Kung Fu action grip and the scar. I actually have a scar. Have you seen it? Seriously. But now people are buying these action figures or these toys and customizing them. I saw a fella on television buy a Godzilla figure that was about 2.5 feet tall, okay, and he took an X-Acto knife and cut the rubber skin away from it, and inside was the robot that actually makes the toy, and he redesigned it from there, repainted it, used putty or whatever you use, Bondo, that you use on the cars or whatever, and he completely recreated that. How popular is that? Is that becoming a trend?
Yes, you've got guys building custom dioramas, you've got guys building custom action figures, custom head sculpts from everybody from Clint Eastwood to on down John Wayne. So it's crazy stuff.
How popular are the celeb figures that you know, because you've even got porn star action right. figures. You've got Navy SEAL action figures. That's where the Navy SEALs go when the ops are done. They go to the porn star section. But these are celebs. And tell us about how they do the laser measuring. How do you get the they look identical, figure-wise, facial-wise? What's the process that delivers that?
One of the high-end ways they do that is basically with a full body scan. They take a lot of these celebrities, they put them in a booth, they scan their face, they get this, you know, incredibly realistic version of that celebrity on an action figure, man.
This is like The Matrix or something.
Right.
Then you'll have to address yourself completely, because before then, you could only look at a portrait or a photograph and you go, ah, the lighting was wrong. Ah, the photographer wasn't too good. That's a watercolor. I'm not a watercolor kind of person. They didn't capture the real me. That's a frightening element that now you'll have an exact duplicate of yourself, and people are getting much better. What are you covering an action figure in now? Because the skin looks real. How many joints does an action figure have?
It depends. I mean, you've got some of these companies like Toy Biz that have super articulated figures all the way down to the fingers, elbows, knees, everything, man, the ankles. Then you have some that are strictly for more for display purposes that don't really move at all.
They're like figurines. What do you got here in front of us? What does this do? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, it's the Headbanger, and it's basically a sports action figure, obviously a football action figure. You have a goal. You smack it on the head. It kicks the football. This comes from the folks over at Funrise Toys, and basically a throwback to some 70s toys of the same design.
Okay, go ahead and give it a shot there, Brian. Now put the football in front of him there. Go ahead. Give it a shot there. Go ahead. Boom. Oh! Well, you just hit one of the interns. You're going to have a toy lawsuit on your hands. That's excellent. And you could put somebody's eye out with that. I want one now. This looks like a steroid monster. The way this guy is shaped is not like old classic dolls. This is not a classic action figure kind of a thing. This is obviously an authority figure. How much does a football player like that go for? Hit it one more time, Bia. Go ahead. Oh! And that travels about 30 feet there. That's excellent. How much does something like that go for? You have any idea?
Between $14.99 and $19.99, I
want to say. What age group would play with that, actually?
You're talking about 5 and up.
Okay. What about the trucks that the guys are running up and down the hallway here? Because those are really complicated. They're doing all kinds of remote control. What did you bring in here? What was that? There's a Jeep out there.
That thing's off the hook. That's a Nylant rock crawler. Now, rock crawling is a sport out there, an extreme sport, where these guys take these trucks, they go over huge mountain rock formations, and they're going crazy, they're going extreme, and this is the toy version of that thing that can do the same thing.
Outstanding, because I saw a commercial where it said going 4 miles an hour was never so energizing. and this will actually go over the stones? This will go rock crawling?
Correct.
What's the top speed on a flat ground there? Because can you outrun that on foot?
Basically, I'd probably so, yeah. I think it's more about the rock crawling than the speed.
So it's more about actually going in the dirt and forward wheeling. Does that have four-wheel drive on it?
I'm not sure if it does, but it sure does. It sure looks like it.
It does what it's supposed to, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
And do people customize these themselves? They paint them up and redo the bodies and so forth?
I'm sure. You got a lot of airbrush guys out there that probably trick it out and pimp it up, and then, yeah, you got some design going.
What are the most popular toys for, say, 16 years old and up today? What are the top three kinds of items that somebody would reach for?
I think it's the action figure category. I think you got a lot of guys that are, basically media is these days just goes across the board into action figures, comic books, films, you know, and so you got these guys that grab on all the different aspects related to their discipline that they're into. So I think that action figures are really, really hot right now still today.
When we're talking about action figures, what kind of action figure? Because that could be anything. Like
right.
I said, that's porn stars, cowboys, space, outer space, monster, futuristic, Matrix. What kind of action figures are the top favorites now? What are people going for? I think I might know, but you speak to it. Go ahead.
Well, they're going for a lot of the superhero, a lot of the movie license figures. You got Star Wars is still hot, man. You've got G.I. Joe is still hot.
Stop 1 second. When you talk about Star Wars, there's a whole generation or two who don't care about the first half of the cycle. Is that a big, important thing? Are people reaching for the whole cycle of Star Wars, or do you just reach for the generation that you come from?
Well, you've got completists that go for the whole thing. And I think that Hasbro pretty much cranks out product that appeals to the collector, that even though they may not like Jar Jar Binks, you know, that sculpt of Jar Jar is pretty darn cool, you know, and it's intricate, and they're going to go for it all, some of them.
And when you say it's intricate, is this stuff that you assemble, or it comes out of the box as is?
Most of it comes out as is, but I'm talking about detail and paint scheme and just right down to the letter.
I'm talking to John Waterhouse from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's in town for the Toy Fair down at Javits Center here. Let me ask you a question here. Sense of humor is a big part of this. And usually when you talk about toys or whatever, you don't include that. It's not in the same sentence. But I subscribed to a magazine called Blue Planet for a long time. And there's a lot of Larsen's sense of humor. It seems to me like most of the people in that magazine or who write it have a college education. Everybody writes with a real clear acid kind of a wit to this. And do you see this? Is this a growing pattern here? Is there a camaraderie behind the scenes with everybody who's designing and playing with these toys?
Yeah, you got guys that, you know, grew up in this stuff. And they're just, you know, having fun with it. You've got magazines like Toy Fair magazine, no relation to the show, but they did this thing where they have Mego action figures, which were 8-inch action figures from the 70s with cloth outfits, Spider-Man, Hulk, Chips, whatever. And they do these comic scenes, these off-color comic scenes, where they take these figures and they put bubbles over their heads. And the funny stuff, man. I mean, drop-down funny stuff.
Oh, it's hilarious stuff. And it's really smart humor, too. What about guns? Toy guns. How many of those are being sold out there? Is that still a popular item? When I was a kid, all you wanted was James Bond's Walter PPK, or you wanted Napoleon Solo from Man from Uncle. You wanted that gun or you know, whatever you saw in the latest war movie or what have you. Is this still a current popular thing that we just don't hear about because it's politically incorrect, or are guns not popular anymore, toy guns?
I think they mask them in science fiction schemes a lot. I mean, you still get the military guns are out there, but I think you know, as far as weaponry goes, you got your lightsabers, you got your blasters, you got all this stuff that is still appeals to the weaponry aspect the kids dig, but, you know, a little bit safer.
Okay, let's take a caller. You want to talk to some of the callers? Go ahead, Hutch, yeah. Dial in somebody and see if somebody's got a question here for John. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733.
That'd be Steve first.
Steve, you're on. Got a question?
No, I was just commenting about the toys you guys are playing with, man, those rock crawler trucks.
What is it? Go ahead.
Oh, those things are awesome, man. I got like two of them. All the guys, I actually run a Jeep club out of Jersey, Garden State Trail Ready, and the guys are just like raving about them, man. They're excellent.
And tell me how you play with this. I'm even hesitant to use the word play. How do you operate something like this? What kind of terrain? Does this like go up the side of a building, or can you drag things around, or what can happen with this? Share with us. Go ahead.
It's just how they're set up. I mean, you can, you know, change the tire size. It's built just like a regular Jeep truck, just to, you know, about go over anything.
Oh, so you customize it just like your own regular Jeep truck, right? You paint it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So you paint it, you change the tires and the rims, and can you hot rod the motor on this?
It basically works off of like a servo from the actual hand control and everything like that. But I mean, there's not too much you could do to it, but I mean, you can, you know, rock it out a little bit.
Excellent. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. What else you got in the folder there? You're looking at something colorful there, John.
This is Sideshow Collectibles Press Kit, and these guys, wow, they are on fire. That what they developed, what I was saying earlier, the high-end stuff, this display, the museum-quality material that people are putting in their house.
Wow, this really is. And here's the guy from Lord of the Rings. This is like something you'd see in a museum, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, the kind of colors and so forth, the skin tones that they work on this, the detailing. What's a diorama? Explain that to all of us.
Basically, a diorama is a scene, you know, of your choosing, and that basically enhances the experience of the action figure. You put them in the movie scene, you put them in wherever, and yeah, that's basically the diorama.
Like you would see a diorama at the Natural History Museum. It's all the animals in the background and the sky and so forth. Is there competition for this? Do people compete with each other in modifying action figures and stuff like that?
Yes, you do. You've got conventions like the G.I. Joe National Convention, where you can find out more about that at GIJoeClub.com and also JoeLana.com, an Atlanta version of the convention. People show up there. They have their dioramas. They have their customized figures. They go head-to-head. They swap tips. You know, this stuff is really hot.
And who judges something like this? Who is this from the magazines? Are these folks writers like yourself? Who would be capable of judging?
I think probably, you know, you got a lot of guys from Hasbro, folks that come there to check it out, professionals. And you've also got, you know, uber geeks that know, you know, what's hot, what's cool, what looks good, and that sort of thing.
Well, you know what? I want to clarify the word geek. That used to mean somebody left of center, somebody in the margins of society. Today, it just means somebody who's very, very, very focused on what they're doing, whether that's working action figures or learning to play guitar, whether that's perfecting your kung fu move or simply refining your kung fu grip. That's what a geek is to me today. Somebody who has an intense focus on what they're doing, and other people feel left out, and so they should. Go ahead, hit up Bobby there one time. Hutch, Roth Radio, you're talking to John from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, me, David Lee. Go ahead, friend. Bobby, are you there? Go ahead, friend.
Bobby.
Good morning, David. How you doing? Bobby Jones.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Good, man. You know, my uncle actually was the vice president of Hasbro Toys. So, you know, I'm 46. So when I was growing up, you know, I would get these cool G.I. Joe dolls. And it was fun because back then, you know, the toys that they made had a lot of authenticity. Now, today's toys, they've got bombs, lasers. I mean, you could blow up your house, you know, with a toy. It's unbelievable.
So what is your theory?
My theory is that they should go back to the old way of making, like, simple, like, war dolls, because a kid's imagination is the whole thing. It's not like if you give a toy that has everything in it, where's your imagination?
That's an interesting question. John, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, you know...
Hold on, Bobby. Go ahead, John.
Basically, you've got a lot of companies that are doing throwback toys. They're doing classic packaging. Slinky put out an anniversary edition that had its first packaging last year. The folks at Uncle Milton are doing I believe it's a 50th anniversary Ant Farm in the old school packaging. G.I. Joe is doing the same thing, that Collector's Club. They're doing these figures that are harkening back to the old school.
Well, it's the same as if you would buy a 1962 Gibson Les Paul something or other. You want that takes you right back to your youth. And before we go to a break, just a little editorial comment. This is what you hire me for on Roth Radio. What could possibly be more American than a Slinky? A toy that you give to a child to play on a stairs.
David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Yeah. Roth Radio. David Lee Roth here, and I'm talking to John Waterhouse from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's in town for the Toy Fair at the Javits Center. Make yourself at home, John. We did. Good to have you here. And we've been talking about all kinds of different toys and the action figures and whatever. I love the Mezco materials here. These are the little dolls. They're made out of foam rubber. Is that what this is? They're like squishy. You can smash them up into your hand. But the characters that they have now are clearly made for adults here. You got Jim Kaplan, the con man, and he's wearing a checkerboard suit. And over here we have God, who looks like he's pouring a beer.
Happy hour in heaven, I guess, Dave.
This is great stuff. What were you just showing me over here? You have a real iRobot thing. What does this do? It's not a thing. It's not even a toy. What do you call this?
This is the Amazing Amanda, and it operates on voice recognition and object recognition technology. It's a baby doll, and she is being followed up by Amazing Allison, who is a more tween type figure. And this thing is off the hook nuts. It basically responds to what you say. It asks you questions. It asks to eat pizza. If you feed it a cookie, it gets mad.
This really prepares you to have a teenager in your family, doesn't it?
Right.
And this doll looks like a regular doll for a child, okay? You know, a regular, rigid, kind of little baby doll. How does it recognize your voice?
Basically, it goes through some steps, asks you questions, and then it learns your voice.
Wow. How many things can it possibly learn? Is this geared up? Can this one talk yet?
Yes. Let's see if she works.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see if she works. I love this. We got the fake Paris Hilton coming on in about 20 minutes. We'll see if she actually works. He's giving her a squeeze. I'm going to watch the tech. Say that again. That's the fake Paris Hilton. How many things does she say?
It's limitless, Dave. I don't know, but she basically...
Go ahead. One more time. Turn the track off there, Hutch. Go ahead.
No.
Okay, Mommy, you choose.
What does she know about you? We don't know. How much does an iRobot, and I'm using the movie title, that's like an iRobot, that it recognizes you visually as well?
No, it basically recognizes your voice.
Wow. That's amazing. How much does something like this cost, John?
$100, $99.99.
That's it?
That's it. And I saw something that was really nuts that's coming out in the fall, I believe, by Hasbro. A 4-foot-tall miniature pony that's basically has the technology that you would see at the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland.
Wait, turn the doll off, John. Don't do interviews with a groupie in bed. Wow. These are amazing. And the pony... Does it move around? Does it walk around? Or what does it do?
It does everything just about other than walk.
Oh, it gets the colic. It runs up a vet bill. It lames itself.
Right.
It turns itself into half the price. Okay.
Exactly. It blows air from its snout. You comb it with a brush and it whinnies. Its ears wiggle. Its eyes blink. Its head moves all around, up and down. It's amazing. It freaked me out. It got me kind of scared, Dave.
Okay. How about these little toy dogs that I'm seeing on the TV set that come out of Japan? Are you seeing any of this at the toy fair? They come when they call. They cross the floor. They actually look like little mechanical puppies. Have you seen this, actually?
I've seen them at other conventions, but I didn't happen to run into any at toy fair now.
Interesting. Go ahead and let's take another call here, Hutch. Pick one up. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733.
Mike, you're in Cleveland.
Mike, you got a question? Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Mike.
Hi. Hello.
Go ahead, Mike. You're on.
Hey, the guy that called, his dad was with Hasbro or whatever, he brought up a good point about imagination and toys now. I've got a 2-year-old, and when he picks up most of the toys, he wants them to go on. He wants them to do something, and I mean, when I was growing up, I had a couple bags of Lincoln Logs, you know, and it was all imagination.
And what is your theory?
Well, I mean, my point is that all the... Maybe the toys do too much and they don't leave enough for the kids to imagine, to create in their mind.
What do you think, John? Speak to that.
I think it's... I could go either way. I mean, you've got some of these... You've got an amazing Amanda. You've got some really hardcore technology that might inspire these kids to get into technology, to get into computers, to do these things. I can see it go either way.
Their idea... I think kids today's idea of how to use the imagination is infinitely different, too. They have an infinite number of options and possibilities that we baby boomers never even perceived of, okay? Yeah, you buy a toy that perhaps operates on batteries, that has a voice recognition, that can actually walk, but what we've been talking about, even starting earlier here, is that's where you start customizing. The first thing I would do would be to whip out the Bondo, the X-Acto knife, all of the paints, create my own diorama, and start from where that technology leaves off and take it from there. My friend on the phone, do you not see that happening with your kid, or are they just satisfied with the way it is out of the box?
No, I really think that to help develop, you know, the way that society's going, and they got kids' program in school now. One of the best things that these quote-unquote experts say is to let your kid be bored. Because when children are bored, they find things, they make things, they use their imagination. And I think that's something that, I mean, the kids growing up now, they always have to have, there's got to be something going on in front of them.
Yeah, on the other hand, I was left to my own devices as a kid, and I got bored, and I discovered smoking pot and reading porno. Not a bad thing, but before a specific age. It sounds to me like, you know what? I don't think boredom is the option. As a parent, you need to start thinking about what's between two covers of the book. You got to start thinking about comic books. You got to start thinking about magazines and whatever. That's just the starting point. But it sounds to me like you've decided the option is whatever's currently popular with the kids' toys, and it's always going to be some new development that the parents resent because we all love to think we hold the mortgage on popular culture. How could the kids possibly be as smart as we were when we were kids? The fact of the matter is they're smarter, and it's going to cost more, and it's going to be a better toy in terms of complication, color, and whatever. But there's still, like John just said, you've still got ant farms. Everybody still plays dodgeball. Everybody still gets a jump rope, and we still learn to fence with sticks instead of real swords. And it sounds to me like you need to start utilizing your imagination, my friend. Speak to that.
Dave, I respect you, but I still don't think that the kids now, they're expecting something to be done for them.
I think you're exactly right, and I agree with you, and I think it's the parents' fault. What do you think?
Yes, I would throw that on there. I mean, I got an 8-year-old daughter, and I tell you what, she loves to read. It's unbelievable how much she reads, and I'm so happy for her. But that was something that we impressed, especially my wife did, really early on.
Yeah, and I think you got to have the balance. Do you agree? You need to have balance and contrast here, because all work and no play makes for really boring lyrics.
You know, but with the book, with the book she's reading and everything else, I mean, there's a lot of imagination. She has to visualize that stuff going on, reading those books, and she does. It's unbelievable for 8 years old what she can recite back and what she can tell me about a story.
Well, then it sounds to me like your daughter is destined to be a great congresswoman and your son is destined to be a lead singer in a rock band. Thanks for calling Roth Radio. John.
Yes, sir.
How many people actually dress the parts of these characters and so forth? It's like the Trekkies. How often do we see the actual characters come to life at these conventions or what?
Well, Toy Fair is basically the man behind the curtain. You got a lot of suits walking around, but if you go to conventions like Dragon Con in Atlanta, which is huge, 20,000 people come to this pop culture convention, and you've got Klingons over here, you've got Darth Vader over here, you've got all these guys in these amazing, film-worthy, film-style, accurate costumes.
And do they have competitions with this? Or do they compete with each other? Or what do you do at a reality? Excuse me. What do you do at a rally of Klingons? What does a Klingon campfire consist of?
Well, they sit around and they drink beer at the bar and they mess with the waitresses. But they also they also enter these contests, and they have these costume contests usually on Saturday night at Dragon Con in particular. And they go for the gold. They get out there. They work all year on these costumes. And they get it down to the letter, and it's really, really, really scary.
John Waterhouse from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's in town for the Toy Fair here at the Javits Center. Does Xbox and computer games have their own segment of the arena now? Is that considered a whole separate, is it even considered a toy? What do you consider the computer and video games now?
Well, this year, Toy Fair had a section, I didn't make it over there, but it had a section dedicated to electronic games. And so, yeah, it falls under the umbrella of toys.
And do you find how many of the people out of 10 people who are buying the new Xbox and so forth, how many of them are, let's say, over 15 years old? What percentage?
Oh, man, you got a lot of guys. A lot of guys I know that spend Saturday night at home alone with the Xbox. You know, hey, what does that say? But, yeah, a lot of guys doing that. I think it spans the ages.
Amazing stuff. And where do you see the video games and the computer graphic games going? Say within the next 5 summers, what kind of developments might we be seeing in terms of how we play with these games or how we preview them or whatever?
I think we're going to go into the game. It's already happening on the lower level, on the basic level, but they're going to put us physically in the game. They have cameras that put you in there, kind of like the blue screen technology.
Certainly.
And they put you in there in the game, and you're interacting with the characters, you're whooping people, you're doing stuff. And that, I think that's where it's happening.
I've seen some of the materials they're using with the military down at one of the Army bases. I was in Texas not terribly long ago at a confab that showed all of the new training aids, particularly for combat medics. And they were using exactly what you're describing. I'm going to call it dioramic, in that it was almost 4 walls of screening around you as you maneuvered through an urban environment with people life-size presenting themselves from doorways and windows, and it was frightening. You were not in a game. You were actually involved in the environment. You would think, well, it's kind of flat looking or whatever, you know, they're just beginning to develop the graphics for this kind of thing, but it was almost complete surround, and it was moving through a city, and friends would present themselves and speak to you in foreign languages, and you wouldn't be sure if in fact they were assailants or if they were allies, etc. And it became a frightening experience. As I recollect, even part of the ceiling had clouds and above view kind of things. And you think we're going to start seeing this for home use, or where would we see this?
Totally, yeah. Home and arcade.
Is arcade use still as popular as it was? Just like porno theaters. Since Pee Wee Herman, they all sort of went down the drain there. Are people still going to arcades primarily to play games, or is it becoming more towards home?
I would guess more towards home. I think, the technology is in your home now, so why go to the arcade?
I guess if you're building a home entertainment center that has 5.1 and surround speakers and everything, the next simple step is simply to expand the screen. How big is the biggest screen now for television? Something like 70 inches? Something like that? Just playing the game on that has got to be unreal and convincing. What's your favorite computer game these days?
I'm more of a retro guy. In the toys I like and the games I like, I'm still chasing Ms. Pac-Man.
Me too, in a larger, less moral sense. I've been talking to John Waterhouse from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We've been talking toys. We've been talking who the toys are for. We've been talking about the toy fair at the Javits Center. John, thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure, Dave.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Roth Radio, David Lee. We have a living action figure on the telephone. How appropriate is it that the fake Paris Hilton never actually made it to the gig? I'm flattered. This is the way that it should be. Paris, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Natalie, I'm extraordinary this morning. How about yourself? Did you wake up or stay up for this?
I stayed up. I just got back from L.A. So.
And what were you doing in L.A.? First off, shall I refer to you as Paris or Natalie? Which do you prefer?
I guess you should probably refer to me. I mean, you can refer to me whatever you like.
I'm going
to
refer to you as Paris because to me, you're better than the real thing, like the guy in U2 said. If I'm going to get to know Paris Hilton, I want to know the fake Paris Hilton because that's going to be able to tell me the story of what it's like to really be Paris. How long have you been doing this, Natalie? How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for 6 months.
And where has this taken you? Tell me some of the places that you've gone where they really think that you were Paris Hilton.
Well, yesterday in L.A., we were shopping down Robinson, and paparazzi were, like, jumping on trees.
And do they know that, are they aware of that, are you aware that they're being punked?
They thought that I was Paris Hilton. They were just snapping away everything. And then more would jump out. It was crazy.
Yeah, and how much do you charge for an appearance? How much do you usually charge for an appearance here, Natalie?
Up to $5,000, depending on what it is for.
And in the fashion show that I sat next to you at, how much did they pay for you for that kind of an appearance there? Because initially, I thought that might actually be Paris Hilton, but I've memorized those legs for many photographs. And so I spent the rest of the evening watching my friends try and punk me. I'm very interested in who's going to lie to me amongst my friends. All of them did. How much did they pay you for that kind of an event?
You can discuss that with my agent. I don't want to say exact details.
Okay, well, it says here anywhere from $750 to $2,000 in appearance, and that sounds like a very, very good business. Do you have a website, Natalie?
Yeah, there's one. It's called ParisLookalike.com.
Okay.
And there's one. It's called Icons.nu.
And do you see yourself as an action figure? You kind of are. You're even better than the real thing, do you think?
Oh, really? Well, thank you. You know, I have a lot of respect for Paris Hilton. I think she's just an icon. I think she's doing an amazing job.
Why did you decide to dress as Paris? Because you already had the resemblance or because you're an artist?
Because I already have the resemblance, even without makeup. It's very natural for me, and I have the exact charm as her. We're very similar.
And do you sleep as Paris Hilton when you get up in the morning? Are you Natalie or are you Paris 24 hours, 7 days a week?
No, I consider myself Natalie.
Say that again one more time. We fizzled on the phone. One more time.
I consider myself Natalie. You know, that's what I consider myself.
See, so. But the rest of the world believes the act when you're actually doing it. That's different than doing an impersonation like a comic does on the television. You have created an ambience where everybody, more most people than not, think that you really are that person. And then you leave the building and there's no disclaimer. That, to me, is an action figure performance. However, it's a little bit more than an impersonation. When you've tried to get into clubs, do they let you in better because you look like Paris?
Yeah, I've gotten VIP treatment. I've gotten like really fun, extraordinary things. I've gotten shopping free coach for $50,000.
And then you got $50,000 for appearing as Paris, and they thought they were selling the clothes to Paris Hilton, and that's how you got it?
Yeah, they gave me all these free clothes.
Well, isn't that a felony?
But I don't claim to be Paris. That's the thing.
Well, no, okay, but allowing other people to believe in it, is an issue that says,
people will perceive me how they want to perceive me. I mean, if somebody looks like Pamela Anderson, is it her fault that she's naturally born like that? And those are her genes. Like, these are my genes. You know, so I cannot help it that I have a twin in the world.
No, but let's address the idea of genes, because the clothes that you are wearing are identical to the individual that you are impersonating, correct?
We have similar tastes.
I think they're almost identical, which is part of the fun. The same kind of telephone, the same kind of shawl, the same kind of dress, the same kind of glasses, whatever. Do you see it as an impersonation or is this performance theater, Natalie?
Sorry, what is your question?
I said, do you see this as an impersonation or is this performance theater?
I see it as more acting.
So you're acting. And do you have a future in cinema? Are we going to be able to see you performing as other characters in the movies?
Yeah, I'm really taking a lot of acting classes right now, commercial acting, and I'm focusing a lot on that and modeling. So I hope to get into showbiz and entertainment.
Did you ever dance as a dancer at Scores? That's one of my favorite drinking establishments.
No.
Because that's a great...
Who told you that, Nicole?
No, somebody put it on the news here. So you never danced as a dancer? Because you would make millions as Paris Hilton. Even if we knew that it wasn't real, you would still be head, hands, and feet above all the other dancers. What did you think of that?
I don't really need to do that. So I have very supportive parents, and they take care of me.
So now that you're wearing $50,000 worth of clothing that somebody thought was actually going to arrive on Paris's shoulders there, have you received any kind of missives from that? Whoever sold you the clothes, did they ask for it back, or does everybody just sort of grin and bear it?
I think that people are shocked. So,
and Natalie, where will this take you? What do you think is next for you on the big screen? Are you going to be doing Broadway?
Yeah, I have a lot of really exciting things coming up in LA. I was actually there for business, so a lot of very exciting things coming up. So, lots to stay tuned. But however, I'm not allowed to disclose them because I did sign confidentiality contracts.
Ah. Do you have any more appearances slated for coming up? Oh, you don't ever list your appearances. You just sort of pop up and you're sitting there, huh?
Yeah, I just show up. It's very surprising to people, and it's great for the paparazzi.
Okay. All right. Now, and let me ask you this question. Do you have competition in this arena? Is there yet another fake Paris Hilton? I understand that there's a fella named Perez Hilton who's walking around out there dressing the same way.
Hey, I never knew that. I mean, I don't, I'm not competitive like that. So if there was another girl that, you know, looked like Paris Hilton, I would be like, wow, join the circle. It's a lot of fun. Really.
Amazing. Okay, let's take a phone call here. We got somebody from New Jersey who has a question here. Mike, you're on Roth Radio. You're in the spotlight. Talk to the fake Paris Hilton. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Extraordinary.
Good. I was just checking to see what your take on it was, because I saw you on the receiving end of this once. I went to see a Van Halen tribute band once, and the singer, you know, they put on the show. They were really, really great and everything like that, but he couldn't get out of character at the end of the night. And some girl came up to him, was like, you know, great show, you guys were fantastic, you were unbelievable, you were just like David Lee Roth, and he couldn't get out of character, and he lost her within 5 seconds. The look on her face totally changed.
Okay, probably what you're describing is what I consider performance theater. When you con somebody outright and allow them to believe that that really is the individual, that's something else. It's like this comedian, Billy Mira or whoever, who would do long impersonations of me. And I thought it was very funny stuff, but it was racist and it was dark and it was stuff that from the 20 years ago or whatever. And he would do long impersonations, and then whoever's show he was on, they figure, okay, well, we'll just say that wasn't Dave at the end of 7 paragraphs. Most people never last 7 paragraphs. We tune out after a few paragraphs. And that's called a celebrity impersonation if you announce it or you run a caption throughout the routine. But to allow people to believe that that's really you for a long time results in things like this. I had one who was sleeping with girls, and then when he was done with them, was robbing them. Okay. I had another guy who was conning young musicians in the Phoenix, Scottsdale, Los Angeles area into giving them money, okay, because they thought that he was the real David Roth, and he was telling them that he was going to help them with demo tapes and was going to help produce their first record or whatever, and he would run off with the money. The best one that I ran into, I never actually met him, was here in New York City, and I walked into a club a week after he had been there, and he had run up a $600 bar bill two guys the size of animal cornered me as soon as I stepped through the door, and they forced me to pay the bill because the waitress who had dealt with the fake Dave Roth wasn't on shift that night. I had to pay the bill or they weren't going to let me out of the building. Have you ever caused anything like that, Paris? Have you ever shared any experiences like that?
You know what? I'm really not concerned with doing anything illegal like that. So I would never run up credit cards or a...
But didn't you run up $50,000 worth of clothing for somebody who believed that you were...
But I didn't run it up, though. I didn't tell the store that this is who I was, and I didn't say I'm Paris Flippin.
But you allowed them to... But you allowed them to believe it, and isn't that kind of the same thing? It's what the Catholics call the venial sin of omission. It's what you left out. No, you don't agree?
It's just... I don't think there's anything wrong, because people will perceive what they... People will believe what they want to believe, so... And I didn't... It was many people that believed that I was her, and
But nevertheless, you allowed somebody to believe that you were somebody else. You gave them every possible pointed clue, and they sold you $50,000 worth of goods. Okay, on one hand, I think that was a good larcenous move. On the other hand, I've been the victim of some stuff like that, and you feel that that's okay. That's performance theater, and that as long as you remain silent, if they believe something, then that's their tough luck.
No, but I did not do what those guys have done. I'm not interested in breaking any laws or anything like that. So,
well, I think, sweetheart, I think you may already have.
No, people are very generous. You know, they like beautiful girls, and
no, they're very generous, and they like Paris Hilton.
Well, that too.
Yes, and I think we have an identity issue here. Let's take one more call here and then see what Cliff thinks here. 866-313-3733. Go ahead, Cliff. Weigh in on this. Roth Radio,
hey,
go ahead.
Hey, Dave. Great show you got here. I really do appreciate it. You don't dumb it down.
Please, go ahead.
I think they should give this gal whatever they give her. You know, what's the difference between her and Paris Hilton anyway? I think neither of them have any talent, so, you know, what's the difference?
You know what? I agree with you. I completely reverse my position. Go ahead. Say it again, my friend.
I don't think there's any difference between her and Paris Hilton. You know, I think they're both just pretty empty shells. And what are we giving them money for in the first place? So give her everything you got.
All the more is her achievement. You've reaffirmed my faith in being able to change my position and my opinion on everything. Natalie, I think you're a star. I think you should go far. I love you. It was a pleasure sitting next to you. I think you're more interesting than the real Paris Hilton. And I wish you nothing but success. Let's go to Paris, baby.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.